Hey guys, welcome to our channel. My name is Pastor Sam and I'm so happy that you have tuned in today. It's 2025. Can you believe it? We are here. But in this year, we are expecting more and more from God. In Psalm 115 verse 14, it says, "The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children." So this year, you can expect more glory, more power, more faith. Come on, guys. More anointing. More of God's goodness in your life. Expect miracles. Expect breakthroughs. Expect stubborn areas of your life to shift and change. Not only you, you and your children. The entire family comes along for more and more. Living wise and discerning lives. And I want you to write some stuff today. Take some notes. Or when you go back home, listen back to this sermon because I know it's going to give and it's going to keep giving. In Jesus' name. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 14. And it says, "Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, 'Look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them.' But the men were very," they were what?
Very.
The men, all right. There we go. Let's go together. All right, let's back up. I'm read together. "Now one of the young," let's read together. Come on. 1, 2, 3. "Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, 'Look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he," what? "Reviled them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompany them when we were in the fields. They were a wall." What were they? "A wall to us both by night and day, all the time we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what you will do. For harm is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a scoundrel that one cannot," what? "Speak to him." But look at the girl here now. "Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 seahs of roasted grains, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of fig, and loaded them on a donkey. And she said to her servant, 'Go on before me. See, I am coming after you.' But she did not tell her husband, Nabal." Why? He was a scoundrel, right? "So it was as she rode on the donkey that she went down under cover of the hill. And there were David and his men." Tell somebody, you got to go undercover sometimes. Tell it, sometimes you got to go undercover. Hello? You got to be ready to go what? Undercover. My God. Some things you could do in the open, but sometimes you just got to go undercover. "And there were David and his men coming down towards her, and she met them. Now David had said, 'Surely in vain I have protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him. And he has," what? "Repaid me evil for good. May God do so and more also to the enemies of David." Come on, somebody. Listen, you got to tell your enemies God's going to deal with them. Yeah. He was saying that I'm going to fight this enemy, but God is going to do more. Amen? So when you got an enemy, an opposing forces, number one, you start with the spirits and you deal with them. You annihilate them with the weapons that God has given you. Amen? Who knows that you're not weak today? I said, who knows that you're not weak? The weapons of your warfare are not carnal. Not because you can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't work. Hallelujah. You can't see that lady's prayer, but somebody paid off the school fee. Amen. Hello, I say you can't see her prayer. Amen. But somebody paid it. What is it? The weapons are what? Mighty.
They're what? The weapons are mighty. So that nothing means blah, blah, blah. He's repaired evil. May God do so. Okay, if I leave one male of all who belong to him, by what? Morning light. Now, when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed down to the ground. So she fell at his feet, said, on me, my Lord, on me, on me, on me, my Lord, on me, let this iniquity be. And please let your servant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maiden. Amen. Please let not my Lord regard this conjugal Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now then, let your enemies and those who seek harm for my Lord be as Nabal. 27. And now this present which your maiden has brought to you, let it be given to the young men. Let it be what? Given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord and what? Enduring house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we give you the praise. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. And we give you all the thanks. I pray, God, that you will speak to us today. I pray, Holy Spirit, you will stretch us. Let today be a stretching day. Let today be a day of stretching. That we will go from grace to grace, understanding to understanding, wisdom to wisdom. My God and Lord, we will leave with a discerning heart in the name of Jesus. And we give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the thanks in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Amen. Let me just welcome all those that are watching online. Thank you for being with us. But today we're talking about living a wise and discerning life. Living a wise and a discerning life. We often hear about the word wisdom. And wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom is not knowledge. But what wisdom is the applying of what you already know. Because you can know and still not do anything with what you know. Amen? So it's the ability to use what you have and navigate and bring forth outcomes that are desired. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
Now, discerning, so that's wisdom. Discerning is showing insight and understanding. When a situation arises, you're able to draw out the deep aspects of the situation. And you're able to decipher it. And then you're able to make moves. You can apply the wisdom to it. Did you try that?
Yes.
All right. I told you, today you're going to have to go back and listen. Because I'm going to move quickly. Because we have a lot to cover. Amen? Right. Now, let's push it a little further. This is my definition of discernment. It says, it is the ability to come to a conclusion in your spirit. It's the ability for you to come to a conclusion in your spirit based on your knowledge and revelation of Scripture. And the help that comes through intimacy with the Holy Spirit. I'll go it one more time. Discernment is the ability to come to a conclusion in your spirit, because you know you're a spirit being, isn't that true?
Yes.
You're a spirit being before you became a natural being, because what he said, I knew you before. How could God know you before? That means you was there before.
Yeah.
So you can now use the Spirit, because Jesus came that you might be born again and that your spirit might be awakened. Before this, you were spiritually dead. But Jesus came that you might have what? Life. Not talking that you may look muscular. No, he's saying that you might have spiritual life. You might have the God life. So now you can come to conclusions in your spirit, based on your knowledge and revelation of Scripture. Now, you are formed by the Word. You are fed with the Word, and you are formed by the Word. The Word shapes your outlook. The Word shapes your conclusion. Amen?
Amen.
Now, and the help through intimacy of the Holy Spirit. So now, after you have the Word, the Holy Spirit takes it and pushes it even further. And opens you up to even higher and greater levels. So now you can have insight that the common man does not have.
Amen.
Hello? You remember Joseph? Nobody could have figured out the dream. But who did? Joseph. Who was working in him? The Spirit of God was at work in him. So he had a higher level of revelation that could have come through a dream. Could have come through understanding. Somebody say?
Amen.
Somebody say?
Amen.
Somebody say?
Amen.
So that's how, when the Word says, you have to test every spirit. How are you able to test? Are you testing with your mind?
No.
No, you're testing with your spirit. Because the Holy Spirit works on your spirit. And your mind conforms to your spirit. You see, that is the biggest challenge we face. The sister's praying for her money. God promised her, he gave her the peace. But then the mind kicks back in. And the memory of lost. And the memory of how hard she worked. And the memory of how much she sacrificed for. You heard her? Did you guys hear her testimony? So she remember. But now, if she don't click over to the Holy Ghost or her spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit and yours, you still got your spirit. And the Bible says your spirit and the Holy Spirit becomes one. You don't become God, but you become one. It's like, I got married to Cher. She didn't become a man, but we're one. And I'm so glad she didn't. Because somebody would have had to leave. So, she could not have remained there. She had to switch back to the Spirit where the peace of God flows.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
So that's where your discernment and your wisdom comes in. Amen? So somebody say, I'm going to live a wise and discerning life. My God, hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So anything that flows from the Holy Ghost is truth. John 16:13 tells you that. Psalm 119:66, David says, teach me good judgment. Don't smile, Cher. Pastor Cher is still wondering who's leaving. Teach me good judgment. You see, there are upsides and downsides to your spouse sitting in the front, right? Because they're giving you these looks. And you still got to preach to the people while they're looking at you with that look. Right? But yeah, he said, teach me. That's how you got to soak the word in so that your judgment, you learn to judge like how God would judge. Hello? You learn to judge like how God judge. You learn to judge justly. You know, I learned this week that there is no such word as fear, F-A-I-R, in God's calendar, in God's alphabet, in God's vocabulary. The Hebrew language has no word like fear. In the world, you hear about fear, fear, fear. This is not fear, that's not fear. Do you know fear is subjective? and subjective to whatever people want to do. Let's say you're rich. They say, oh, the rich needs to pay their fair share. What is the fair share? 50%. No, that's not fair. You have too much money. Why you got $10 billion and the man that works for you only have $1,000? You need to pay 90%. Who makes that system? Someone's judgment. But is that just? No, it's not just. You understand? So how are we going to learn to live wise and discerning lives? It's when we observe the word and the Holy Spirit works on us and give us wisdom and discerning. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 12:32, the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the what? Times. They had what? Understanding. Now this was when all the people were coming to David to submit themselves for him to be king over them. All the tribes were coming. And the Bible says these men were wise men. These men were discerning men. Not only were they wise, because you can know and not do anything. You can know what you should do and you still do nothing. We all are guilty of that. Come on. Yeah. Times you know you should have done this, you don't do it. You know you should call this person, the person died, you didn't call the person. You know you should have blessed somebody, oh man, then you find out the person's in a jam. You could have alleviated that. You know you could have went and talked to one of your clients and get a new contract before you know it, somebody come under you and take it. And you're like, oh. Am I talking to somebody? Yeah, right. So, not only did they know, but it says, not only did they understand, rather, but they knew what Israel ought to do. They knew what Israel had to do. I want to ask somebody, do you know what you have to do? I'm looking for like three honest people. Don't lift your hand. Just digest this word. Do you know what it is you have to do in this season? Some of you are in a waiting season, you wait. Some of you are in an action season, you need to do something. Yes. Some of you are in a season of faith where you need to be believing, believe for it. But whatever season you're in, don't miss doing what you ought to be doing. Because procrastination is the thief of time. Procrastination is what? The thief of time. So, they not only understood, but there's another step. They know what to do. The Bible says faith without works is what? Dead. You have to work what you know. Hello? You have to, isn't it God that give you, he says your gifts will bring you before men. You know you got a gift. But you haven't been presented. Now, there are times when, yeah, of course, but you can't be maturing forever. At some point, you have to do something. That's where this comes in. Living wise and discerning life. Because if we're not going to walk by wisdom, we're going to miss seasons. We're going to miss opportunities. They're going to pass us by like a race car. No, Pastor, we want you to preach so we can shout. They knew how to navigate matters. You could have the best ship, but you don't know. All right, help me with this mic. You could have the most beautiful ship, but you don't know how to navigate the waters. Sometimes we're praying for what we already have. We're praying for what it is we already have. And God probably says, what is wrong? I have already equipped you, but you must open your eyes, see, and not refuse to obey what it is you see. and not refuse to use what you have observed. Are you with me? So God is saying to his church, Jesus is the spirit of wisdom. He is wisdom revealed to us. The Bible says all wisdom was in him. So if we are in him, so you could say we are in wisdom. If any man be in wisdom, he has amazing understanding. He has the ability to discern and decipher and then use it now to navigate and take hold of what God has purposed for his life. Amen? What, man, the heights, what's that little saying? The heights of great men were not met and kept by sudden flight, but they, while their companions slept, they were what? Up, toiling through the night. What are they doing? They're navigating. They're thinking. They're thinking. Find some quiet time. Do some thinking. You know, I love to encourage the old people. I love the young people. But I want to tell the older folks. Sometimes when you reach 60, the world tells you retire. Do you know in God's calendar there's no such word as retire? What they said, calendar? God's vocabulary or alphabet. There's no such word as retire. Caleb, when he was old, how old was Caleb? In his 70s or 80s, he said, give me the mountain that God has promised me. There is no such word as retire in the Hebrew language. None. It's the world system that tells you when you're 50, you're going down. When God says your latter is greater than your former. And if he says it, we believe it. And you better believe it settles it. So don't say, it's time for me to cool off. That's a devilish doctrine. Because what the devil knows is that you become influential when you're in your 50s. I'm not influential yet. It's by God's grace I'm moving. But you see, when I hit 50, it's problems. Much as when I read far too later this year. But yes, a person becomes more influential, I think, in their 60s rather than their 50s. Because the 50s is when you start getting there. So how much more when you're 70? It's increasing and it's becoming greater. Your glory is becoming bigger. I don't want you to say, oh man, I've missed my time. That's a plan of the devil. That's a work of the enemy. Stand up. Look at her. Turn around. Let them see you. Put the camera on her. How old are you, sis? That's okay. You know what she's saying? You're not going to believe. Have your seat. But yes, there is no retiring. Your glory gets higher and higher. But if we don't know, we can be deceived. Because my are destroyed. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You know what the devil tells you? Oh, go retire. Go sit down and get sick. Go sit down and let your knees get tight. And then you're crying, pain. This time is a lack of exercise. You watch the old ladies that go out to work every day. How fresh they look. How nice they look. Come, sister. Just come. Let me show you what God can do. Look at her. Watch. Mighty God. 77. She got hit by a car a couple of months ago and it couldn't do her anything. because the angels of God buffered her. So, it is time for us to know what God says. And to live wise and discerning life. To know how to debunk lies. To know how to debunk the lies of what the system is seeking to sell you. The system is set up to just get from you what they can get from you. They tell your retirement fund is great. I want everyone to have your retirement fund. But do you know they make lots of money from your retirement fund? As much as they set it up to help you retire, the people that create the fund make so much more than you. You know, anytime you leave your money in your Cash App, you know why they charge you if you take it right away? Because if you leave it there, they take it and invest it. It is theirs until you take it. So as long as you leave your little $100 sitting in PayPal or sitting in Cash App, it goes to the market. And it trades on the market. They get a return. And when you're ready to take it, they're happy to give it to you. Because they already took May 10, 8, 9%. But they're only charging you 1% if you take it out early. But after 2 days, it's good. Because we short traded it. We made our money with it. And we're good. God bless you. No, that's a part of you paying for the service. That's their wisdom working for them. You understand me? Nothing wrong with making profit. But what I'm trying to tell you, if you're not going to buy into God's system, you're going to suffer. If you're not going to buy into what God has set up for us, we're going to miss and we're going to live less than what we should live. Back to this word. Now, we're going to live what? Wise and discerning lives. So, we covered discernment. We covered discernment, we covered what? Wisdom. And now I want to talk to you about the measurements of time. There are two measurements of time, maybe there are more, but the two main ones are chronos and what? Kairos, right? Chronos is basically the measurement of time. So right now it's 12:43, you know in 60 seconds, it's going to become 12:44. Today's Sunday, tomorrow is Monday, it's another day. In 7 days, the week is over. Measurement of time. 12 months in the year. 30 days for most of the month. Measurement of time. Now, there's another one that's called Kairos. Now, Kairos now is more of a God-instituted time. So there's a basic measurement of time which we all need to. The Bible says redeem your time. Take back your time. Don't waste your time. Before you know it, 10 years are going to slip by. All of you that are 30 will be going to 40. All of you that are 10 will be close to 20. You've been waiting to get to 20. You better be sure it's coming. And if you are not prepared, your friend that got prepared is going to be smiling and you're going to be left holding the bag. Yeah, you know, when you're 15, you want to be 21. It's coming. Sure. Because he says, a long life, I will satisfy you and I will show you my salvation. So he's going to get you there. Amen? But the next one I want to talk to you about is Kairos, which is God-instituted time. It's a unique period of time in which something special happens. It's a special time on God's calendar. Now, what does this story have to do with that? Now, here we read a lot about a woman by the name of who? Abigail. And it opens up and it shows us how Abigail goes before David. But let me just tell you, Abigail was a woman that was wise. Abigail was a discerning woman. And not only did she know that one day God would make David king, she knew it. And it was not a secret in Israel because David was anointed publicly. It was a public anointing. It wasn't a secret anointing. It wasn't like how Elijah went and anointed Elijah. Just pass and throw the thing on him. And then he went and he found Jehu in battle and he anointed him. And one other person he called. No, when Samuel came to anoint David, he called the whole family. And let's say, for suspicion's sake, only Jesse's house knew that David was anointed king. Let's just put it that way now. Do you know that news always gets out of the camp? Somebody goes rogue. Somebody always goes rogue. Even in the CIA, people go rogue. In the FBI, people go rogue. Much less all these boys, Eliab came. He was the firstborn. Strong and big. Samuel said, surely this is the Lord's man. Because he looked good. Everything looked fine. Because remember, he anointed Saul before. And Saul was tall and big. So he fit them all. But guess what? He said none of them. Eventually, they got down to David. So the news got around that David would be king. Now, at this point, David is on the run from Saul. He's a fugitive in Israel. He's like an enemy of the state. Everybody is looking for David. Everybody is giving intel on David. Everybody wants to be the one that will find David and expose him to Saul. Because if you read in all the chapters, you would see here and there people go say, oh, David is in the Negev over there. Oh, David is over here hanging out. David is in Ziklag. They're all bringing intel on David. But what I want to point you to is how Abigail, who was married to a wealthy man, a rich man, a man of high status, but that did not cloud her judgment. Sometimes riches can cloud your judgment. Wealth can cloud your judgment. You know what? Your judgment. She did not allow her wealth to cloud her judgment. She was married to Nabal. And Nabal was very wealthy. He was rich. Look what it says. And there was a man, verse 2 in chapter 25, in Maon, whose business was in Carmel. And the man was what? Very rich. What was he? The man was what? Very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now, shearing means they were just, you know, taking off the wool, right? They were shearing. When I saw this, I was like, what is shearing sheep? You know, so I had to go look it up myself, right? So they were shearing sheep. And also, he was also killing sheep for his men, right? So David was dwelling in the wilderness of Paran. This was after Samuel had died. Israel had mourned, and everybody was now on their own. Saul was on one side, and David was on the run, and he was hiding in the wilderness. But I want to tell somebody something. You know, the wilderness is a special place. I said the wilderness can be a special place. God met Moses where? In the wilderness. Where did Jesus go and fast? He was led into the wilderness. My God. The wilderness can be a place of encounters. It can be a place of shaping, a place of pruning, and also a place of elimination. But it can also be a place of miracles. And it can be a place where you find your treasure. And we're going to see how David finds his treasure in the wilderness. David and his men, while they were in the wilderness, while the men of Nabal, rather, were out taking care of their livestock, David and their men protected them. They protected these men, and they cared for them. Remember, we read, and it says that nothing was lost once they were under the care of David and under the watch of his men. Because in those days, caravans would come through, and they would raid. Right? So from one nation, they will go and they will raid the pastures and take the livestock, take whatever they can, take the money from the guys and rob them. But what? It says that David protected them. So now David sends, he heard about Nabal that he is what? Shearing his sheep and that he's killing and things are good. He said, we have come at a good time. So he sent his men ahead. He said, go to Nabal and say, Nabal, we have done this, that, and that, and we've protected your sheep. Now, our master David is saying, can you send us some goods? When they showed up there, Nabal went into his cocky mode. He went into his fields, and he said, who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? I know that many are rebelling against their masters. But what he did not put together was that David was an anointed man on the run. You see, sometimes your anointing does not protect you from persecution. Your anointing does not protect you from your enemies coming after you. More times it amplifies persecution. So the more anointed you are, is the more you can expect the devil to be mad at you. And you can expect even people to be used against you. And here we see David is on the run. And he's running from Saul, but at the same time he's carrying on with life. Because who knows, you got to eat. So they're playing like a mafia. Right? They're being like he's like a mafia boss. He said, I'm going to guard this territory here now. Right? And as a result, you know, we're going to ask the people to take care of us, to help us survive, right? Because they were on the move. They were going from place to place. But Nabal, instead of having gratitude, he ridiculed David. He ridiculed the man who was anointed by God. My God. Look what the verse 3 says. The name of the man was Nabal. And the name of his wife was Abigail. She was a what? Woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance. But Nabal was a harsh and an evil man. So what Nabal was doing, he was living up to his name. I want to tell you, be careful what you name your children. Because the name Nabal means fool. Now, you might say, I want to name my child after my dad, my great-grandfather, or something. But when you look at the meaning of the name, it has a diabolic meaning. I want to tell you, don't put that name on your child. Because things have relevance. Why do you think names have meaning? It's because it will play out in the person. There's possibilities that it can play out in the child's life. Nabal lived up to his name. Instead of him recognizing, being wise, and said, I know that David is currently on the run because he was a rich man. I'm sure he could have got intel from the inside to understand why David was on the run. Or he could have went and met with David and said, why it is you're on the run? But he was so pompous and he was a servant of his riches that he felt that he was untouchable. The Bible says, when riches increase, do not set your heart on it. So, he was void of understanding and he was void of discernment to have a proper response. I want to tell us today, if we're going to live wise lives and we're going to navigate and we're going to get to the fulfill our purpose, we have to navigate well. We cannot ignore what season we're in. We cannot ignore the seasons of our life. Now, let's look on the other side. It says that Abigail was a woman of what? Good understanding. Now, what did she do? It said here, we read that after the men came to David and Nabal ridiculed them, the men left, they went back to David. But one of her servants ran to Abigail and they said, Abby, Miss Abby, Honorable Abby, my lady, when we were in the fields with my master's sheep, David's men protected us. David's men watch over us. And you know this man is going to be king. This man is a man of destiny. This man is our next ruler. This man will be in charge at some point. And we know something about David also, is that whatever battle he goes and fight, the Lord gives him victory. Because Saul slay in thousands, but David slay what? 10,000. And it's because of jealousy of Saul's heart, David is on the run. Because, my God, when your glory starts to rise, people around you wouldn't like it. When you start to get promoted, when you're done, everybody's with you. I said, when you're down, everybody's trying to help you. But my God, when things start to look nice for you now, and you start to ride well, you're not going to have much friends. Right? Why do you think people have to switch friends when they get rich? Let me help here. It's either your mindset rises with the person that gets rich, or they'll have to drop you off. Not because they don't like you, but because you're too much baggage for them to carry. Why do you think people move to a different side of town? It's not because they don't like the people anymore. Are you tracking?
Yeah.
All right. This is all wisdom. This is all wisdom. This is all living a discerning life, understanding how things work. So then you don't say, oh, she thinks she's better than me. It's not that she thinks she's better than you. It's that you think what you think. What you think about her is affecting the relationship. Are you tracking? I don't think you're tracking. I know you're tracking. I'm just messing with you. But yeah, so what did Abigail do? She put one and two together. This man is going to be king. And also this man protected my sheep. Because that's my husband. If my husband is well, I am well. If my house is rich, I am rich. So now she said, I cannot allow this to happen. Because what we know about David, when David talks to God, when he talks to God, God always gives him victory. And even if he don't talk to God, he's a man of mighty, mighty. He's powerful. He has great skill. And the men that are with him are men of valor. Mighty warriors. These guys were so amazing. They go down into a pit and fight an animal and win. Fight a lion. Tear Moria their hand. He said one of them went down into a snow pit with a lion and tear the lion apart. So she knew that impending danger was ahead if she did not do anything. So she said, I am going to saddle an ass and I'm going to load him up and I'm going to go to David. And the Bible says she even tells her servant, go ahead of me and start to appease the situation. Because maybe she was in the midst of something. She had to get herself well prepared. But she understand that danger was imminent. You see, sometimes we know danger is imminent and we don't do anything about it. We sit back and we say, let's see what's going to happen. That's being a fool. But today God is saying, it's time for us to come up when we can be able to look at a situation, have a discernment concerning it, and know how to act. Are you with me? So she said, the servant even said to her, our master is a scoundrel, meaning he is worthless and he is wicked. He's rich, but he is worthless. You understand that too? How does that work together? You would think that those that have much and are well blessed, this should be great. But there the Bible says that no, he was wicked and he was a worthless man and no one can speak reasonably to him. So they didn't even bother. You know what she did? She said, if I go to Nabal, Nabal is going to give me some ridiculous story because that's what he is. He's ridiculous. So she said, I'm going to mount the ass and I'm going to go and I'm going to meet David. Now, my God, Abigail had knowledge of David. She knew who he was. She knew that the Lord was with him. And she knew that he was going to be king. But her approach to David was outstanding. At this point, he was only anointed. He was not yet appointed. He was not sitting on the throne. She had higher rank in the natural than David did. And what she did, when she approached David, she bowed herself to the ground. Not only did she surrender to David, she took on the sins of the house. Wow. Let's look at the scripture. She took on the sins of the house. She repented for what Nabal had done. Let's see. Somebody help me. May God do. What is it? 23. Now, when Abigail saw David, she was dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, bowed to the ground. So she fell at his feet. Falling at the feet of someone is a sign of surrender. That is why we bow to the feet of Jesus, right? We cast our crowns at his feet. What is she being here? Wise. What is she being? Wise. She understood the season that she was living in. She knew that Saul's time was coming to an end and David was about to take the throne sometime soon. Because Saul kept on losing battles after battles and things were crazy on his side. But here she goes, she bows before him. She repents on behalf of her sick, cruel, and foolish husband. Next, she took on the sin of the house. We're going fast now. She was diplomatic. The woman was operating like an ambassador. She went and she brokered peace in a situation. You understand that? She went and she brokered peace in a situation that was about to be a war. She said, no, David, you can't do this. And what she did, she took on, just like Christ went to the cross and he took on our sins for us. She grabbed all of Nabal's sin and she said, put it on my head. Put it on my head. Hallelujah. She broke her peace. She used her discernment and she jumped ahead of the situation. When you have a discerning heart, you're able to make moves that will bring a desired outcome. What the desire she wanted was peace. She didn't want her house to be destroyed. But what she did, she made a move. I want to tell somebody, the Bible says here that this woman was a understanding woman, but also she was a beautiful woman. Sometimes when we look for wives, we only want the good looks. You want the good looks. But you pick up an empty head. A good looking empty head. And all she has is looks. And all she's doing is looking. Can you buy me this? Can you buy me that? She's just scrolling. Can you buy me this? Can you buy me that? Can you take me here? Can we do this? Can we do that? What she is? You got her for looks. And what she's doing? She's only looking. But here was a woman that had understanding. And if you know anything about the Proverbs 31 woman, it says that she is wise. He that finds a wife finds a good thing. I'm going to save a piece of that message. I'm going to preach it another time. Because it'll take me somewhere else. She was discerning. You know how discerning she was? She knew that her husband was unjust. Her husband was unjust. Because David did good for him, but he turned around and he did evil. So she was a woman of what? Justice. I want to tell you, when you're looking for a wife, find somebody that is just. And let them start being just with you first. Meaning they can look at you and say that what you're doing is wrong. We don't like that part. We don't want that. But the Bible says God will give us a help meet. Someone that is good for us. Someone that compliments us. Someone that is there to help us. To assist us. What a helper assist. And if I'm going in the wrong direction and you let me go, you don't love me. But most time we want wives or spouses to be yes men. And especially wives, we want them to just say yes all the time. Because we're men, you know, we're like big macho men. And we see it in Nabal. Nabal was so full of himself. But and the moment your wife tells you that you're doing something wrong, you get mad at her. I want to tell you, the man that I am today has a lot to do with the wife that God has given me. Because I remember one time when I used to get angry with people all the time, she would look at me, she said, that will destroy you. You will never, and she'd be having these hard tones, you know. When Sherry's passionate, she has some real intense tone. You ask the kids, they'll tell you. Everybody's shivering. Yeah, everybody's shivering. You guys get the nice side of Pastor Sharon. But yeah, she said, if you keep getting angry with people, you will never be a good pastor. And it's going to destroy you. You know what I did? I took her counsel. I went into 7 days of fasting and prayer. And I said, Lord, break that angry spirit off of me. Or else I would end up like Nabal. So, we have to be what? Wise and discerning. And this goes for men and women. This is not only women being wise and discerning here. Let me bring it back around. This is for every one of us to look at the life of this woman and say, God, I want to be able to do just. One of the things as a child of God, the word of God says, is to do justice. Do justice, walk humbly before your God. So she said, what Nabal is doing is unjust. These men protected everything that we have, and we cannot allow this to happen. Not only that, she speared David's conscience. She speared his conscience. She went to him and she prevented him from shedding innocent blood. Because as much as Nabal did not do just to him, him going and kill Nabal and wiping out his house was not the right thing. Because God did not instruct him to do it. You see that now? Whenever God sends them to battle, God sends them to his enemies to fight them. But here, David was taking a situation into his own hands. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. But here, David was running ahead of God. You see, sometimes we want to cut people off. Now, this is the flip side of people standing against you. We want to cut people off quick. We want to do away. But sometimes God brings those people in your life to teach you lessons you will never learn without them. God brings those people in your life to stretch you.
Oh, yeah.
Some of you have some kids you wish you could get rid of them, but God brought them to stretch you.
Yeah.
And you're saying, I can't wait for you to grow up. God is saying, I can't wait for you to grow up. And this child is your training wheel. So, she went to David. She said, David, because when you take vengeance into your own hand, the Bible said the blood of Abel cries out for more vengeance. What you do, you stir up even a greater war that you won't be able to stop. Because innocent blood always cries out for vengeance, but the blood of Jesus cries out, forgive them. You see the difference? That's why Jesus had to come to help to do away with some. Even today, when you see the aborted children, man, you better believe those children are crying out for help. The blood of those children are crying out for vengeance. Whenever you shed innocent blood, it cries out for vengeance. But the woman here was wise. And she said to David, you don't do that, David. You don't let this fool of a man draw you out. You see, sometimes we say people draw us out. And I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Or maybe I'm going to even fight you to show you who I am. Anyone ever went through somewhere?
Yeah.
Take off my wig. You don't know who you're messing with. You forget that I wasn't saved all the time. Don't let the old Sam come up in here. No. We cannot let the deeds of wicked people draw us out. But this woman was so understanding. She said, David, don't let my foolish husband who's a rich man draw you. You're going to be king, boy. And don't let nothing come in the way to detour your purpose. And she settled him down. She went, she bowed before him, she took all the sin. She dealt justly with him. But she said, you don't follow the unjust and repay evil for evil. Do not repay evil. Abigail said in verse 32, and David said to Abigail, now this is David now looking at this woman as a result of her ability to broker peace between two people who are not even in the room. You understand how deep this woman was? How much wisdom she had? This is how we got to be, man. The Bible said, be peacemakers. Be peacemakers. Let it be part of your life to be a carrier of peace. A person that delivers peace. Don't be a person that delivers strife. Because Abigail could have done something. She could have flipped and said, I'm going on David's side. And I'm going to love David. I'm going to bow down to him. And I will say, David, I'm coming into your camp. Let's go mash up Nabal. He's a fool already. He's a scoundrel. He's a wicked man. Nobody. He probably never even dealt good with her. Because she couldn't even go and talk to him and say, let's do this thing right. She had to leave and appease the situation. Today I want to tell you, God wants to take you to a higher level of discernment. That you can have the desired outcomes that you want to see in your life. David looks at this woman and he said, blessed is your advice. He said, this that is flowing here is not normal. This advice is not normal. This is divine intervention. You understand this? This is divine. Whenever they use, they don't use the word blessed for any little thing. Blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with what? My own hands. So David recognized the spirit of this woman, how wise she was. But while all of this was happening, and because David now decided to bless God, bless the woman, God started working on the case. God began. You see, sometimes we want to fight our battles. But the word of God says, if you hold your peace, Zerubbabel, this battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Give God opportunity. Give God opportunity to work. I was listening to this preacher. He's from Nigeria. His name is Pastor Uma. I remember Sister Uma, right? His name is Pastor Uma. He's 80 years old. And he said the witch doctors of his community invited him. They said, we're going to kill you. He said, no, you guys come. I'm here. Come kill me. When they showed up at his house, they could not cross the gate. They saw 10,000 military men. 10,000 military men. They couldn't understand what's going on. So they said, why can't you come? He said, look at the army that you have. He said, I don't have no army. I'm just sitting here by myself. I'm waiting for you. Come. Next time they went to go again for him, they can't open the gate. The gate was just opening on its own. They went to open the gate. They can't open the gate. That is the God that we serve. He will have. And I believe what needs to happen is when your enemies threaten you, we need to stand up and say, come.
Yes.
That's the only way you will see the salvation of God. But if you begin to try to figure a way out, you will never see the salvation because you're taking it into your own hand. This is where spirit discernment comes in now. This is where spirit discernment comes. Then the word said, we shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Is he with you?
Yes.
I said, is he with you?
Yes.
From I was young, I am so sure that there are witch doctors trying to kill me. From I was young, in my teens, I figured all this out. I said there's people always trying to kill me. Car hit me down. Fell off a porch. Fly out the car door. When I was a baby, When I was about 3 years old, I dropped off a bridge. My mom had to jump in the water and save me. Who saw that little thing with the lady sitting at the Super Bowl with the doll? Poking Mahomes all through the Super Bowl. Sitting with the doll, poking. And he had one of the worst games of his life. Worst! I was going for him. I thought they would have won. But there is a fight in the spirit for your destiny. But we have to now know who is the God that we serve. Who is the God that we serve? And we gotta be, tell me Jehovah Sabaoth, the God of angels' army. So whenever you are threatened, I want to tell you, stop backing down. Let discernment kick in that for I am with you. I will never leave you, nor will I. For that's not only for salvation, that's for protection. And that's also for elimination, to destroy your enemies. So stand that we start walking with a new discernment. And discern the God that we serve. I said discern the God that we serve. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He's not weak. He's never weary. Remember when Elijah was on Mount Carmel? What he said, cry a little louder. Maybe your God went to relieve himself. He doesn't need to relieve himself. It's time that we serve God. With discernment. No, he said, they that know their God, they shall be what? Strong. And they shall do what? Exploit. They shall do unusual things. It is time that we believe God for some unusual things. Somebody say unusual. Tell him some extraordinary. Tell him I'm going to do some exploits for God. Hallelujah. Give God praise. Come on, clap the name of Jesus. Rabakoroko sorokotaya. Shabaka sandaka sundokosara. Ela roko sirebosaya. Masha nana mashia. But God was already on the job. So Abigail does all that she was doing with David. She left back. But I like the part, and I'm going to get there in a second. I'll hold that. But when she gets back home, Nabal is drunk because Nabal already mouthed off David. He was now celebrating. But the Bible said that night, God struck him with a heart attack. God struck him with a heart attack. And he became a vegetable. No, he was alive. But God has a way of showing man that he's a God that dwells in their affair. Sometimes you see some people get so shut up. You wonder why. It's the seeds that they have sown. The Bible says, as long as the earth remains, there shall be what? Sowing and reaping. Whatsoever a man sow, that if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. If you sow evil, you're going to only get evil. You can't sow evil and get good. You cannot be unjust and get what is good. Are you with me? So, the Bible says here, and David heard that Nabal, no, let's go to 37. So it was in the morning when the wine had gone from Nabal. And his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him. And he became like a stone, and just there like a vegetable we call today. And then it happened after about 10 days. Who struck him? Who struck him? Who struck him? David didn't have to go and fight. God dealt with his enemy. The Bible said he died. And look at 39. So when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord who has pleaded the cause of my reproach. Listen, when people reproach you and they say all manner of evil against you, don't fear. Do not get disheartened. And even if you get disheartened in the moment, shake yourself off. Because David got disheartened and he was about to take it up in his own hands. But there was a woman that stood in the way. And she said, no, 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 Mr. King. No, 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 the anointed one. Your time is coming. You don't want to go with innocent blood to the throne. Let us detour. And let God have his way. Now, I'm going to wrap up here now. Now, this is where the thing gets sweet now. It gets nice here now. David Hardy was dead. He blessed the Lord. He didn't just stop blessing the Lord. You know what he said? Get me that fine, understanding woman. God didn't only kill the man. He took the treasure that was in his house. Now, we might say the treasure is the money, but the treasure was the vessel. The treasure was the vessel. Because with understanding comes what? Riches and honor. Watch me now, track me. With understanding, go share if you're going, quick. With understanding comes riches and honor. So the true treasure in Nabal's house was Abigail. David didn't say, go and get me the spoils. No, David said, go get me that wise woman. Because I'm going to be king. And when I become king, not only I need a beautiful queen, I need a woman that could help me build a great empire. I want to tell you, when you're looking to get married, you better scan that person out. Scan them out. Scan them out. No matter how handsome he is, scan him out. Say, will this one help me to rise, or this one will cause me to fall? Young man, you're looking for a wife? Say, will this one cause me to stand, or will this one bring division between me and my family? So many young men, they get married, and after that, they can't speak to their mom anymore. They can't speak to their dad anymore because somebody come and create a wedge. We don't want no wedge. No, we want people that will come that will elevate us, that will unify. And if you see signs, hear me now. If you see signs early, they are there for a reason. I said the signs are there for a reason. You ask people that are married, they say, you know, before I got married, I saw the signs, you know. But I ignored the signs. People told me, but, you know, I was head over heels. David said, go get me that treasure. And the Bible says what he did. And David sent and proposed. Oh, my God. He didn't flex his muscle because he knew she wasn't a joke. He knew she wasn't a walkover. He knew that she was a wise woman that had greater standards than even him. Because he was ready to avenge innocent blood. And she stepped and she said, no, David, do not take up the curse. Wait for your blessing. And he sent a proposal. And he said, baby, will you marry me? And you know what she did? She said yes. She seemed to be even happier than David. She bowed herself to the ground. But you know what I find amazing? When she came to David the first time, she talked to him in his ear. I wonder what she said to David. Because you don't really talk to people in their ears just like that. Amen? That's another one reading between the lines. But David took her. And I don't think that David, yes, he probably was attracted to her as a beautiful woman. But he was attracted to her wisdom. He was attracted to the gift of discernment. And the gift of wisdom that was operating in her. I want to tell everyone sitting in this room and those watching online, be like Abigail today. Be someone that understands your seasons. Be someone that knows how to navigate within seasons. Don't wait for outer. You can't catch fish when that season is gone. You got to catch a fish when the season is ripe. Don't let time slip you by. She didn't waste time. When she heard that trouble was coming, she did something about it. She didn't fold her hand and go on her knees. No, she got moving because she already had the answer. When you have the answer, it is time to move. Let's all stand. I'm going to read a couple more scriptures to you. Pride. Nabal was full of pride. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Be weary of pride. If you see pride is raising up in your heart, get on your knees and repent. Amen? Proverbs 24, verse 3. By wisdom, a house is built, not with wood and with sand and with stone. By wisdom, a house is built. Meaning, what you already know, begin using it, and the resources will come to you. You with me? What you already know, because wisdom is your application of knowledge. So by wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. Oh my God. Understanding is a sound and a good foundation. I want to read the rest. True wisdom, verse 4, by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is what? Strong. Not a fit man. But a wise man or woman is strong. Abigail was strong. This man was coming to kill them, but she went and detoured him. You understand me? That is strength. And God has given every one of us a mind. Every one of us standing in this room have a mind and have intelligence. Let's begin to use it. Yes, a man of knowledge increases what he does. Isn't our scripture, God will increase you what? More and more. For by wise counsel, now, watch here now. Nabal was a man you couldn't speak to. Track me here now. I could have preached this 2 weeks, but I want to put it in 1 week. Nabal, no one could have spoken to him because he was a scoundrel. He was bent in his ways. His heart was just wicked, and he felt that he had it all, and he didn't need nobody's input. But here it says, for by wise counsel, you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of what? Counselors, there is what? Safety. What you don't know, get advice. When someone give you wise counsel, receive it. Hello? Hello? I want everyone here this week, apply some wisdom. Look at how you've been dealing with your business. Look at how you've been conducting your life. Look at how you've been dealing with your family. Look at how you've been dealing with your schooling. Listen to me, students. All the students, stand up. All the kids, get them on their feet. Stand up. You hear better when you're on your feet. Treat your studies well. Pay attention. Hey, watch me here. Pay attention to your books. Pay attention. Do not be lackadaisical, because if you're lackadaisical, your report card will reflect it. I said your report card will reflect it. So let us be wise and discerning. Last scripture, Ecclesiastes 7:12. For wisdom, watch here, like money is a shelter. Let's read it together. Come on, guys. Get it up. Ecclesiastes 7:12. For wisdom is a defense as money is a what? Defense. But the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives what? Life to those who have it. Let me read my version. For wisdom, like money, is a shelter. And the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the life of its owner. We all want money, but what we need more than money is wisdom. Because when you have wisdom, money will follow you. When you are discerning, money will follow you. You think Abigail was ever poor in her life? No. She sat on throne after that. You understand me? Yeah. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Pray God will not slumber in this house. Pray we'll not sleep. I pray we'll not reject knowledge. We'll not reject wisdom. We'll not reject instruction. But I pray, God, you'll give the grace to live wise and discerning lives. Like Abigail, a woman of great understanding. Let great understanding come to us. You're in this room and you're saying, Pastor, I need some wisdom. Walk to the altar quick. Grace is releasing. You say, Pastor, I need some discernment. Run to the altar quickly. The way I've been conducting business, I'm not going anywhere good with it. Come quick. Come quick. Kuraka sarakati de brusata da basaya. Rimanda rokosiande la brusha. Ela rokosi ke talalabakosata talalabakasande. Ribando rosianda ramashianda ramakosia. Rabakosata rote. I don't think we need any cloths. So if you folks want prayer, come and get your prayer. Put your cloths down. Rabakasa. Today's not one of the falling down days. Today's one of the days where God is going to deal with your mind. In the name of Jesus, let there be wisdom applied to this church. Because here it says, wisdom, like money, is a shelter. It's a shelter. Lord, I need more wisdom. I need more discernment, Lord. I obtain it from you today. And I thank you for everyone at this altar. I pray, mighty God, you know their need. I pray wisdom will flow. I pray wisdom will flow. I pray you give them a discerning heart. Give them a heart to understand what is right, what is wrong, what is just, what is unjust. Rabakasira brusikatara rabasiande lebru. Lebrama kasila brusiketa. I pray, God, that as they observe this word and it soaks into their spirit, that it will revolutionize their life. And I pray that testimonies will come forth, because wherever your word touch, it brings change. Wherever your word goes, it brings change. Robobaboko sanda kasia la la ba sodeba ribo shure kasakate rimanda roko sana kataya. Even those watching online, I pray you stretch them. Stretch them. Stretch them, stretch them. Karibu sike, rubatika. Riba, the media team, stretch them. Rube, sadabaka, sundedabosaya. Wisdom will guide our days. A discerning heart, making right choices. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for it. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. It doesn't matter age. Rusha tata talalaba kosana kasara. Reba kosana kasaraba. Hela brusaraba kataya. In the name of Jesus. And God, we give you the glory. And we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go and prosper. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Welcome back, guys. I trust that you enjoyed today's sermon and that you are ready to take action. Don't just hear the word, but put the word to practice. Remember to connect with us on all of our social media platforms. We're on Instagram, YouTube, Threads, TikTok. Just come on over there and follow us. And remember to subscribe to this channel so that you'll get your notifications every time we either go live or we upload new content. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for those that are watching right now. I pray, Lord, that you'll touch them and you will encourage them. I pray as they've heard the word, they will take action in Jesus' name, and their lives will never be the same.